I'm moving further from sobriety, further from sobriety, sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local arts. Brought to you by Blue Moon Diner with your hosts David Von Strong and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Welcome, one and all. It is March. It is the 26th. It is 10 o'clock. It is Sunday. I am about to pass out from sleep deprivation. I am David Von Strong, a.k.a. the Devious One. And with me always is the lovely, lascivious, luscious, Leslie M. Scott Jones, and this is Homegrown! How you doing, Leslie?
I'm doing good. I'm a little sleep deprived myself.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the clouds, maybe it's the moon.
Well, you know, no, I think it's our schedules.
Yeah. We're changing that up soon.
We're like, burning the, is there a third end to the candle?
You know,
because
yeah,
I think we found it.
I don't know. But no, I'm so unprofessional. This is Homegrown. This is 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is your show about local art here in the big old Seaville.
Right.
We are live right now on Facebook. My hair is a mushroom cloud, if you wish to notice it and revel
see,
in its
And you
in
can
its
see David's
pomposity.
Got a few little gray hairs in there.
Yes. And they're all named Leslie.
Oh, so does that, are you trying to tell people that I'm the one that gave you the gray hair? Is that what you're implying there?
Well, you are the miracle grow of the gray hair seedlings.
Oh
that
my
seem
God.
To pop out. Like,
no,
you're not
I'm
the
not.
One that grows them, but you definitely help.
Hey, now.
And I appreciate that.
I'm a joy to be around.
I say that in jest, and I say that in complete love. Yes, I can see that from your fervor. in which you describe it, you are a joy.
You know what?
To be around.
You know what? You ate meatloaf that I saved
I had delicious
over Friday
meatloaf.
Night, and you
I had
not
delicious
be invited
meatloaf.
Back.
No. This wasn't a beautiful event. We got together. Leslie's been working on this beautiful script, and we got together, had a nice little read through, had a nice little discussion, and me and Leslie have a heated discussion, but we always do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Other people at the table are like, what is this? And I'm like, we do this all the time. Like, what are you talking about?
Like, but me and Sean
this is normal.
Were so, like, they were so surprised. They were like, is a fight going to break
we?
Out? Should we? Be worried. No, the meatloaf is good.
That's how we normally talk. So let's get down to business. BIDNESS. Here at Charlottesville. Different twist on Trump Watch this week. Trump Watch. Different stuff. This Dolt 45 decided to open his mouth and say that he is the reason that Colin Kaepernick is not signed. And
yeah, what was that nonsense?
First
about?
Of all, what is this dude not going to take credit for? You know,
right? Like anything that happens that makes him look good. Oh yeah, I did that. No, you didn't.
He probably thought he was the reason that truck got created, and he made the horn that
right?
that went beep beep.
Did like, you see the picture of
oh
him
my
sitting
God.
In it? He
oh
looks
my
like
God.
A 7-year-old.
I was gonna say Eric Cartman is our president now.
I know, right?
Screaming, respect
oh
my
God.
Authority.
But you know what?
Until
the
2020.
Thing, the thing that pisses
probably
me off about the whole Colin Kaepernick thing is that the NFL will re-sign players.
Anybody.
They will re-sign
anybody.
Wife beaters, drug addicts.
Cavemen.
Murderers. But
saber-toothed tigers.
God forbid
they
a
would,
black man be woke
they
and
would
speak his mind.
Yo, they signed Josh Brown, a kicker, to an extension, and only after they found out that he had 30-plus counts of domestic abuse
right?
against him.
Yes.
Not when they found out, until they found out that the press found out about it, that contract was then rescinded and then terminated. So it's not even like the NFL is working on a morality basis. They're working
right.
on a reactionary basis. It's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, we're going to sign whoever we want to. And somebody else found out that, you know, they're an awful human being. And we have to do damage control about
right.
that. But with Colin Kaepernick, it's not like... it's not like he blames the NFL for the reason that he's
in. Because he's using a good person.
He's using his stance. He's using whatever celebrity status or whatever status he has as a platform to do good.
Yeah, he gave like $1 million to Meals on Wheels after they, you know, after they cut the Meals on Wheels budget.
Right.
He gave like $1 million to Meals on Wheels. He was supposed to be
I think it was like 50,000, but I think he gave million to Somalia.
Well,
to the Somalian.
Well, and he actually went to Somalia.
Right.
Like he was supposed to be on Roland Martin's show and he couldn't be there because he was on a plane to Somalia to deliver the food.
You know, like little things like donating your entire sneaker collection to, you know, kids who need it. You know, it's like movements. It's like motions like that would show, okay, all this material stuff doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I'm trying to do some good with what I have.
Yeah.
And I actually excelled. I actually had a better quarterback rating than anybody. We can go to the numbers.
Right.
I mean, he actually did better than a lot
He's
of other people.
He's awesome.
But
on the field
that's
and off
neither
the field.
Here nor there.
But let's go to our first guest,
I'm just saying, I'm getting me a Kaepernick jersey after
right?
the show.
Yeah.
One of the top-selling jerseys in the NFL, by the way.
Yeah.
But let's switch gears. Let's go to a little bit about art, because we are a show about art. Not that football isn't an art. It's an art in its own sense.
Oh, boy.
Public relations art.
We'll talk
mostly.
About that later.
But we're just going to switch up. So I am here. We are here. You
oh
know why?
God.
Because
he,
you just chill,
he just now
you know,
took over the show.
You know why?
And
because you're chilling in the cut and you just look like you're not really like involved. So I just
what do you want me
like,
to do? Sit on your lap? David, do
we'll,
not.
We'll do the ventriloquism show next week. But with us in the studio is Marianne Kubik and Matt Marshall. And I'm just going to let them talk a little bit about themselves and why they're here. So, Marianne, I'm going to start with you, and then Matt will move over to you.
Hey there. We're here to talk about a show that's briefly called Shipwrecked that's playing. It's going to open this Thursday. Oh, I will. It's going to open this Thursday at the University of Virginia in the drama department, more familiarly known as the Kaplan Theater, the new Ruth Kaplan Theater. So this show has the longest title that will ever fit on my resume. And here we go. Ready? Drum roll. It's called Shipwrecked, an Entertainment, The Amazing Adventures of Louis de Rougemont as Told by Himself.
Oh, my goodness.
And get this. It is based on a real published, it's based on real events, and it's based on a published story that was published in a serial sensational magazine called Worldwide Magazine, which was huge in the late 1890s in England. Made it all over the world, though. The point of this magazine was to advertise these kind of adventures that people would have out in the Sahara Desert or, I don't
almost
know, on
like
Mount Everest.
Almost like
or,
a nautical serial. Like,
well, not just nautical. It would be anything.
Okay.
And you might,
wow.
might think of it as a like an old version of an Inquirer, where you go, oh, this is so sensational, and is it true? I'm not really sure.
Hmm.
And so the title of that story is The Amazing Adventures of Louis de Rougemont, as told by himself. So... It starts long, and the title for the show just gets longer.
So I see that Fiona Apple titled your play.
Hey, David, leave Fiona alone.
And you're the director of this.
I am the director.
Wonderful performance.
Yes,
you're
yes.
putting this whole shindig up.
So with this long title, how many people are in this thing? Because, I mean, it kind of lends itself. There must be a cast of thousands, right?
There's a cast of 12. I will say that the script has a cast of 3, but our playwright, Donald Margulies, I should plug, Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright, Dinner with Friends might be the most popular play and film that people know of Margulies. So it's a cast of 3 playing 30 characters, but he says you are welcome if you have a larger company to go ahead and try it out with more. And at UVA,
awesome.
To get serious for a moment, we have an MFA acting program and we have a BA program. So we have a lot of students that need and want training in theater and acting. So
yeah.
that's why we bumped it up. And it's been an adventure.
In other words, I'm mad baller in my artistic skills. So when I choose to make a script from 3 people to 12, don't question me, because I got a Pulitzer, mofo. Yeah, so talk about that. Did that really change the thrust of the production in any way, shape, or form? Or did it kind of...
It really did, because this is a play where Louis de Rougemont tells us he's going to tell us a story, and then he tells us the story. So right. If you can imagine, he's narrating, and then he is also living and reenacting his life from the time he was a little child until he spent these 30-some-odd years shipwrecked off the coast of Australia and then comes back to London and then writes about, and then his mother says, you have to write about this. There's a movie, there's a new serial called Worldwide Magazine, and he gets it published, makes millions. So one actor is telling that.
Listen to your mother.
We've bumped it up to 12 so that what we can do that three people can't do is really tell the story, because we have more characters that we can have slip in and out. But then we get into a couple of challenges. Is sometimes we go, this one scene might be better with just three people. But then we have the luxury of saying, okay, we're just going to use three actors, not 12. Mm-hmm. So there's a luxury where they can come and go.
Right on.
That sounds very cool. So this is not just a straight play. There's music in it, right?
There is. There's music, and there is live sound effect, like radio time. We don't do it anymore, but radio shows. So wind machine, thunders, rain, hammers, ratchets, bells, all sorts of bells and whistles.
I want slide whistles every 30 seconds.
We have a factory whistle. We tried the slide whistle. It didn't work.
David, why can't we do that? I want sound effects.
Me too. We have
a
producer right here. We can talk about that later.
Yeah, let's talk Clinton. Sound effects.
Wacky homegrown. Sorry, David and Leslie. All right, so I see you chilling over in the cut, Matt. You can't get away from us too quick. Matt Marshall, from what I have written in parentheses, is music designer, not accompanist or musical director, music designer.
Yeah, that just means everything. No.
This is no. Let me stop you right there. This is the time to blow up your chest right here.
Right.
We putting you on. We making you sound hot. So talk about this music design.
So I guess the idea was. I'm sorry. I'm Matt Marshall, and I've been asked to bring music to this wonderful play. So I actually am performing the music I'm writing for that I've written for the piece. And I'll be having wonderful cellist, Sharon Fernandez, will be joining me. I'll be on piano and sometimes guitar, sometimes drum. Sharon will be doing cello and sound effects on the cello,
cool.
Like seagull sounds and all kinds of
And you guys
things.
Aren't playing roles
That's awesome.
in
I'm
into
sorry.
Wait.
Sorry. Seagull sounds on the cello?
It's extraordinary. Marianne found
That's awesome.
Yeah, found a cellist who like kind of demos all these wonderful effects you can do on the cello. And if you were just listening to it, you have no idea it's a cello.
It sounds so great.
Like seagulls off in the distance.
No, the cello is one of my favorite instruments.
Yeah.
I love cello music.
I just imagine that audition, and it's like, you had me at seagull sounds. You start Monday.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations.
There's very little indication for specific music, so it leaves things wide open for the composer. There's a couple of things, like a drinking song I had to write that's specified that they should be singing a drinking song.
Woo-hoo!
There's a sea shanty that they should be singing, so I had a lot of fun doing
that. It also goes good with drinking.
That's right. A sea shanty.
Who doesn't want to write a sea shanty?
That's right. Awesome. And then a lullaby. So some of it is just incidental music, scene change music, but I kind of, when Marianne approached me about the project, I kind of thought that in some ways I am sort of Louis's, his memory. Music is so tied to memory. You hear a song, a piece of music, and it brings you
to that first time you heard it. Yeah.
So I would sort of invite the audience to kind of think of the things I'm playing are things Louis is remembering, even if he's saying something else.
Right.
He might be saying one thing, but he's thinking about this other thing.
Right.
And that's kind of how ship folks did back in the day with shanties. Nobody went around passing out sheet music during the ship. Like, everybody remembered it by rote and by memory.
That's right.
So that's great. We're going to have you play a song.
Okay.
We're going to do a drop. We're going to come right back with you guys. This is Homegrown right now. Drop! It is 15 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Homegrown on WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, your show about local arts, brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. And with me right now is Marianne Kubik and Matt Marshall of the show Shipwrecked, Entertainment, the Amazing Adventures of Louis de Rougemont. It's told by himself. I'm going to get that right. Rougemont. Without further ado, we're going to have the incomparable
yes,
Matt Marshall
play
some music from this wonderful show.
Who's up for a sea shanty?
Woo!
Yarr! I'm up for a sea shanty. This is a little tune that keeps the sailors going as they set out on their journey. Roll down the sails and pick your lads up. We set out to sail, so wish us good luck. We are not certain just when we'll return, but we sure do promise to share what we learn. Nice and short and
that
sweet.
That is so cute. Why do we all think
one of my
sea
favorite
shanty
games
means
is...
pirate? What is that? why did we just do that?
Because it's necessary. You must yar at the end of every shanty.
So Matt, this is original music. This isn't
right.
anything from another play or production. This is
no.
all Matt Marshall, baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk about the process. When Marianne approached you for doing the music, how long it took you, when inspiration, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Let me get in that mind.
So, thank you, sir. It was very, very exciting and very organic. There was, when you read the play, most of these pieces seem like they're, very much in the background, an aside, something that you sort of hear off stage and you move very quickly through to get on to kind of the next bit of dialogue. So, there's nothing to indicate that they should be showstoppers, but Marianne has helped to, transform them into bigger pieces, which is, very exciting. And she actually has the troupe doing this sea shanty as a round, so they come in, they repeat
cool.
it, and then and then another group of singers they
That's
harmonize.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's become much, much bigger. It was wonderful to kind of think of it as just a little ditty that kind of moves things along, and then now it's transformed into a piece that hopefully people enjoy listening to, but also watching. You're really going to enjoy watching this play. I mean, in some ways you could just close your ears and watch this play and enjoy it's just on all these different levels, the way the visuals and the music kind of work together.
So how many pieces did you write for this?
There are three songs. Okay, so there are three singable songs. There's about 20 to 25 music cues.
Wow.
Anything from just four bars to 32 bars. There isn't a whole lot of time. The play moves very quickly.
Right.
So I initially wrote a lot more music than we have time for. So I'm hoping to get to the studio.
That's a good thing.
And more than we need. So I'm hoping to get to the studio with my cellist and record a proper soundtrack.
Yeah,
if you want to just listen to Shipwrecked, a musical treatment of this story, you could just listen to the music.
That would be awesome.
So,
after you've done all that work and written all of that. That'd be awesome.
Sure. Sort of like a director's cut soundtrack.
There you
know?
You
yeah.
So what else do you have for us?
Okay. Well, there's kind of a touching lullaby that, in the first act, for lack of a better term, Louis at home as a child talking about the experience of being kind of a sickly child and wanting to explore, wanting to go beyond his comfort area and the world he knows. And so his mother is very protective and wants to keep him safe, yet she continually reads him these adventure stories, which do nothing.
Yeah.
Robinson Crusoe, Treasure Island, all these things that are teasing him. So he's getting sort of these mixed signals and messages from mom.
You can read about it, just don't
do it. That's right. It's fine, yeah. So we have this lullaby that she sings to him to sort of reassure him, keep him calm, but also to sort of remind him that she's going to keep him. She's going to keep him safe. And so this is just called Lullaby. Sleep now, my angel, mother is here. Sleep now, my angel dear. No need to run now, nothing to fear. Mother will keep you near. So it's like the idea of even in the harmony, there's sort of a dissonance to it.
Yeah.
To sort of, there's a tranquility, but also a dissonance to represent sort of this tension he feels between protection and, promoting the life he wants to have.
Cool. So let's talk about tone in this production, because we haven't even gotten to the idea of, is it a comedy? Is it a comedic drama? Is it, does it have elements of drama? Because I see it kind of, I don't want to say this in derogatory terms, because good shows do that, but it goes up and down. Like, there are happy songs and there are jovial songs of shantiness, and then there's like
shantiness.
Trademark David Strong.
And, new word.
And there are
Brand
lullabies like Sarah. So, Marianne, I want you to jump into this as well. What discussions did you have about tone and, finding certain areas within the production where, to ease back, to go up, so on and so forth?
Well, I call it an adventure story. So, yeah, a lot of plays have that element of comedy and drama, and so this one does as well, too. I actually wouldn't call it either. I do think it gets super tender in some moments, the relationship with the mother. There's a dog in it. It's not a... I think we can let that away. Yeah, there are some things we don't want to, some secrets we don't want out. But there is a dog in it. You can come and see whether the dog is real or not. But there's a tender relationship that Louis has with the dog. And then we have, with these 30-plus characters, I ask the actors not to work on these as caricatures, because you could just come in, your character has two lines, and you could be like the boldest, biggest, two-dimensional.
Right.
I ask for three-dimensionality, but because... They're so short. They have such a short time in the play. Mm-hmm. By nature, some of that will be funny. Mm-hmm. So we've tried to find comedy through being as honest in the moment as possible.
Yeah.
And sometimes the moments are just really funny in the play. They're just really quite silly. You know? A dog and his master running around an island by themselves trying to figure out what to do. Like, how do we entertain ourselves?
Right.
We're just us. For 3 years, what do we do?
Oh, I'm sure the dog came up with a lot of ways to entertain himself.
Well, the improv Bible is entitled Truth and Comedy, so.
Right.
I mean,
there you go. It's funny because it's true.
It's funny because it's true.
And I think the biggest adventure the students have had, and this is why I was really excited to work on this, is a new style for these students. It fits under story theater or trunk show, and so they really had to tell everything from scratch, because that's the whole idea of this play. If anyone's familiar with Our Town, it's an adventure version of Our Town.
Mm.
Donald Margulies asks that it start with a ghostlight, bare stage, and his goal, and we've been really trying to work on this, is to put the power of imagination back into the audience, that an audience can only be astonished if they can truly suspend their disbelief. So I've been asking the actors to think about the space like a playground, to think about what was it like when you built a fort when you were a kid, and how can we actually make these moments happen?
Yeah, that's really cool. I love the way you're thinking about that. An adventurous Our Town. That's very cool. Yeah. That's very cool. Thank you so much, Marianne and Matt, for coming to talk to us about this.
Absolutely.
It sounds really cool.
The show is called Shipwrecked, an entertainment. The amazing adventure of Louis de Rougemont is told by himself.
Well done.
Don't drink your juice in South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. It's not that movie.
It's not that one.
It's going on at UVA Drama at the Ruth Kaplan, the new Ruth Kaplan Theater, March 30th through April 8th. Marianne Kubik, Matt Marshall, thank you so much for coming out.
Pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yes. Art. Bubbling at the seams. This is Charlottesville, baby.
Right?
This is what we do. This is who we love. Cool.
Leslie, I'm
the list of stuff.
I'm looking at your wrist, and I am concerned.
You're concerned?
I'm concerned. What are you doing to yourself?
I'm tendinitis. That's what. This is what happens when you get old.
Is that what you call it? Is that what you call it?
David.
Is that the professional excuse that we're going
with? Yeah, I've actually had some interesting queries about this.
Mm-hmm.
One person yesterday asked me if I had punched someone.
I can totally see that.
Hey.
And I can totally see that being me. But
No, it's
viable. It's feasible.
I would never use my hand to punch you.
No, you would get somebody else to punch me.
Baby, hit that man in the face for me.
I think we're doing that. So let's do that.
I'm gonna do the announcement
at the 30-minute break. She's gonna do the music. Here's what's happening this week. Artistic events wise, currently running now through April 9th. It's the Renaissance season at the American Shakespeare Center. Woo! The season features The Merchant of Venice and Coriolanus by Shakespeare and Sheridan School for Scandal, Emma Whipday, Shakespeare's sister, all playing at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Last day, Virginia Festival of the Book. Get your book on, people. It's the last day. This afternoon is How to Get Your Book Published with Jane Friedman at the Charlottesville Writer House. So if you got a book in the works, you might want to get your butt down there. Also this afternoon, Bryan Cranston. Yes, Double W. Heisenberg himself. John Paul Jones Arena. UVA's president speaker for the arts at UVA talking about his career as an artist. He is the door that knocks, or the person that knocks, or if you saw Breaking Bad, you get
it. Move on.
All right. UVA, tonight, UVA Music Department Chair Matthew Burtner and Grammy-winning producer Ninth Wonder hosts a screening of Wonder's documentary, The Hip Hop Fellow, at Newcomb Hall Theater. Wonder will also hold a feedback session with UVA students tomorrow and a masterclass in mixing for UVA students on Tuesday. March 29th, two tours of Paramount Theater, noon and 5:30. Also on March 29th, Lighthouse Studio. Vinegar Hill Theater screens Ninth Wonder's documentary about himself, The Wonder Year. March 30th through April 8th, Shipwrecked and Entertainment. The amazing entertainment of Louis de Bourgeois is told by himself. I'm going to keep working this. By the UVA Department of Drama in the Ruth Kaplan Theater. I think we just talked about this.
I remember 30th, that. I'm...
UVA MFA reading series at Millie Joe Coffee and Gelato continues with Anna Tomlinson and Helen Chandler. March 31st, UVA Fisk Kimball Fine Arts Library is having an edit-a-thon from 9 to 5 to update Wikipedia entries on subjects related to art and feminism. Please
really?
Make Wikipedia more accurate in those two fields.
Wow.
March 31st through April 30th is The Sky's the Limit. Paintings by Jeanette Cohen, curated by, former guest, Leslie Ava Shaw at Loving Cup Vineyard. Opening reception on March 31st from 5:30 to 7:30. Also playing March 31st through April 2nd is Cabaret at Piedmont Virginia Community College at the V.R.L. Dickinson Building. Also on March 31st, Bent Theater Improv presents Go Get My Mom at Guerrilla Theater, a show that yours truly is hosting on Friday night. So
no
get your booties down
way.
There. Yes, I am. I am hosting. I am doing comedy. We're also going to take that show to Philadelphia in September, but that's neither here nor there. That's
all
coming
right.
up. March 31st, Ninth Wonder. Ninth Wonder is all over the place. Lectures on the hip-hop, the history of hip-hop in UVA's Rotunda Dome Room, which I thought would never be a lecture of hip-hop.
In the Dome Room? Are
in
you
the
serious?
Dome Room.
Wow.
I guess they're taking it over like the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
And April 1st, my boy Chris Allen is hosting the Annie Up Comedy Night at the Ante Room. And for your music options this week...
This afternoon, Michael Clem and Thomas Gunn at Cunningham Creek Winery and Farm Store. This afternoon, Teen Songwriter Showcase at Brewery Not a Farm Brewery featuring high school singer-songwriters Anna Johnson, Sam Kelly, Sarah Lopez, and Sam Haney. This afternoon... Wow, that's a name. I'm going to mess that up. Xiong Chow leads the Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra as the last of the three finalists to be the CSO's new music director. The program includes Schumann's Cello Concerto in A minor, Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 6 in B minor, and Ravel's iconic piece, Bolero. This afternoon, guest conductor Michael Tyree leads the Nelson County Community Orchestra in a mix of Mozart, Bach, Holst, Handel, and Stravinsky. Tonight, King Golan Banshee Celtic Jam at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
Celtic Jam!
March 28th, Bob Huntington, and then Travis Elliott at Fellini's. Also on the 28th, Alex Aubaugh from Waynesboro at Dirty Nelly's. I love that place.
Dirty Nelly's.
CJC Jazz Trio at Cafe Couturo. March 29th, Shagwolf and High Waisted perform at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. We love Shagwolf. Love them. March 30th, Gladstones and the Thrillbillies at the Villa Sports Bar and Ultra Lounge. Also on March 30th, former Charlottesville Rockers Lolita play the Anteroom with Lenny and the Seeds, spelled with a Z. That's interesting. Together Soul at Cafe Couture. March 31st, Bobby Midnight Band at the Glasshouse Winery. Open Music Jam at the James River Brewery. Fermata Mafia at Cafe Couture. Rugged Arts Hip Hop Showdown at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. I'm going to be at that one. I'm telling you that because there's some people there, man. Again,
I know. Why are you
going? Ninth Wonder hosts a performance showcase of UVA's Music Arts Board, student hip-hop artists, and a late show now and then dance party with DJs SG, DJ W, and Ryan Clark. DJ
All
W,
types of
I
DJs.
Think he's a former guest on the show.
DJ Tanner's going to be
also
there.
Also March 31st, the Lisa Duo and Belly Dancing at Bashir's Tavern. April 1st.
Okay, I'm with that.
Kiz Carter and Juke Jackson at Dirty Nelly's. April Fool's Frolic at Seaville Coffee. More than a dozen local and nationally known musicians, including Stephanie DeKazen and John Dearth, perform this benefit for Nursing Homes Swing. That's awesome. Travis Elliott at the Ten Whistle Irish Pub. Jim Wave at Albemarle Cider Works. Michael Clem and Andrew Green at Wild Wolf Brewery. Sammy Horn and then John Dearth at Bellini's. April 1st through the 9th, Wonder DJs a dance party at the Jefferson, wrapping up his hip-hop producer's UVA residency. Oh my God, there's so much
So much stuff. And after this show, stay tuned for after the show for Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Dan Gould. David Singer and Corrine Case will be here from Indivisible, talking about Indivisible's efforts to resist the Trump agenda. And they are the Charlottesville chapter, and Indivisible is going on everywhere. Blue Moon Diner is who brings us brings you this lovely show. Breakfast all day, every day, and brunch on Saturdays and 2 days and carefully constructed dining
food. 2 days? You mean
2 days.
Sunday?
Sundays.
Yeah,
are
Sunday.
2 days. And yes, constructed. Oh, so carefully constructed diner food like Lego blocks on weekday afternoons and evenings. And speaking of evenings, Blue Moon is nice enough to provide a venue for local and visiting artists. This week, Wednesday, Jim Wave, Phil West, and Tony La Rocca. Friday is Barling and Collins, the wildest classical duo, sophisticated Starkey classical duo. And that's all popping at Blue Moon Diner at 512 West Main Street. Blue Moon Diner, it's a place.
It's a place that has good food.
Hey.
I love their food.
It's a place.
They have, their pancakes are amazing. No, you know what? Crepes. They make the most wonderful crepes. I'm sorry. I'm hungry.
It's okay? A place. It is
hungry.
A place.
Okay. Who's our next guest?
Our
I'm
next
hungry
guest.
And that's going to, yeah.
It is a wonderful soul that I just recently met and has greeted me with nothing but grace and dignity and awesomeness every time I come into her presence.
As she laughs, like, who the hell are you talking about?
I know. She's like, no, you can't do a play at at my show. I don't know what you want, but the answer is no. No, I'm not trying to brush up to you, Miss Andrea Douglas. This is Andrea Douglas. Why don't you go ahead and tell all the people out there in Charlottesville who you are and what you do for people that don't know who you are and what you do. And if you don't know who Andrea Douglas is, you need to fix
something
that.
Something wrong. You under a rock.
You guys are funny. I'm Andrea Douglas, and I am the executive director of the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center.
Welcome back.
Yay.
Executive
Yay.
Director.
Indeed.
All the moves. Currently, what's going on at the Jefferson School is the exhibit Through Darkness to Light, photographs along the Underground Railroad by Janine Mishna-Bales.
Which we saw.
And
it was very cool.
It is a very, very cool exhibition, and one that I think is quite timely and necessary.
I'm just going to pick up your book in Facebook Live this
sure.
morning and talk.
Timely, necessary, I think revealing. I think that many people think about the Underground Railroad as a moment in time directed solely sometimes by Harriet Tubman.
Yeah.
And while a very important and significant person in that story, certainly not the only story. And her trail from Maryland south and then bringing people north is not the only trail.
Right.
And I think what this show allows us to do is live in that space. And so I think for that reason, important. And then the images are just fascinating.
They're really beautiful. There's one, and I can't remember exactly where on the route it was, but I had to get closer to the photograph because it looked like the stars were actually, it looked like they were glitter, like, mm-hmm. like she had actually put glitter onto the photograph, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. It was just, it was an amazing photograph. And when you walked by it, certain stars popped out at you. It was the photographs she did. They're living.
Yeah.
She did a very good job.
And I think, you know, people have in the last few days have said to me, tell me about these paintings.
Yeah, because they do kind of look like paintings.
Look like paintings.
Yeah.
And especially when they're superimposed and they're, you know, and they're put on a wall, you know, you want to touch them and you want to, like, feel the texture of mm-hmm. it. So it definitely has, like, that painting aspect to it. What I personally enjoyed about it is that it sounds weird, but I was expecting to see more daytime photos. And what this kind of does is it puts you into the mind of somebody who's literally trying to escape.
So they have to travel through night.
They have to, you know, see between black and blue, you know, the rocks in the ground. You know, I'm sure, you know, I don't even want to sound glib about it because it's such an important piece of history for me to be taken seriously and to be immortalized.
Yeah, it was interesting. The only photo, if I haven't looked at the entire book. I've just, you know, seen the what's up at the Jefferson School. But the only photo is the last photo that's in the daytime, and mm-hmm. and that's when they've gotten to freedom.
Right. That's the freedom. And I think the things that are interesting about this exhibition is, number one, the kind of photography that it is. These are sea prints. And sea prints allow you to acquire the kind of detail that one needs to fully understand what she's trying to describe. Mm-hmm. You're right. She is shooting these photographs at night. Some of them are long exposures. And some of them are her waiting for this particular moment. You know, there is one in particular that is a moonlight shot.
Yeah.
And in order to capture that moonlight shot, you have to sort of be able to acquire that image at that very moment. Mm-hmm. Because over time, mm-hmm. if you were doing a long shot, you would have the movement
right.
of clouds and things like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is not, you know, although a subject that is, in our history, very difficult, because when you really consider what these images are, this is 10 years of research on her part.
Right.
3 years of photographing and attempting to bring to life a moment not just owned by African-American people or black people, but also owned by those people who were helping them
right.
move along this extensive amount of landscape
yeah.
and very difficult landscape. This is 1,400 miles, a trip that would take 3 months.
Yeah.
And
most of the time through forest.
Right.
Yeah.
And as you say, in the dark and
yeah.
in spaces that are unknowing. There's an image called Friend or Foe. Also in the installation, right next to this moonlight image. And you come out of the forest and you approach a home, and the only thing that's there is one single light.
Right.
And you don't know, you hope that if you are the person coming out and who you are at that moment, you could be a conductor or you could be a traveler on the railroad.
Right.
You hope that that is the space of a station master.
Right.
But this is all a trip that is dangerous for everyone. at the moment these people are moving through, it is against the law.
It's against the law not only to escape, mm-hmm. but it is against the law to help anyone escaping. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they, I mean, they put, yeah, the Fugitive Slave Act. They, I mean, they literally hung people.
Yeah.
For helping. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what is so interesting about this, the way in which she's so considerately and considerably defines for us what we have no true image of.
Right.
Because
right.
these aren't moments when you're, where there is opportunity for imaging these places.
Yeah.
These are places that are described as a consequence of word of mouth.
Yeah.
These are places that are described as a consequence of a particular kind of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so her need to be very, very considerate about this documentation, then the amount of work that goes into that documentation. I think all of those things, as you're standing in that space, are the things that you feel the weight of.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to show these images and to meet Janine, because she in herself is quite an exceptional person to know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really enjoyed her talk after I walked through the gallery and hearing her talk about all of the different places she had to go to research and, you know, and figure out and map the trail that she was going to then mm-hmm. photograph. And mm-hmm. I mean, she took a lot of time and a lot of effort and in doing this, and it's very evident in the pictures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the choice of the images are one thing, but this show also comes with text.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those choice of those texts and how those pieces of information deliberately move you forward.
Yeah.
Can I just read the
Absolutely.
Opening text?
Yeah.
So this is by Frederick Douglass. No man can tell the intense agony which was felt by the slave when wavering on the point of making his escape. All that he has is at stake, and even that which he has not is at stake also. The life which he has may be lost, and the liberty which he seeks may not be granted.
Yeah.
This is the decision making of that. This is not just about I am running for my freedom.
Right.
It is what am I leaving behind?
Right.
What are the risks that I'm willing to take in order to acquire that?
Yeah.
And then
you were literally risking
everything.
Everything. Everything.
Your life, but also what if can I go back and get what I've left behind? Because this is not
right.
something you only want to do for yourself.
Right.
And
you want to be able to bring your family, your children,
mm-hmm.
your grandchildren. You
mm-hmm.
want to bring those people with you.
And that's something
you.
That Janine mentioned that I had no idea about. I just figured that when slaves started to go onto the Underground Railroad to ascend north, that was where they were going, and they weren't coming back. That I heard that some slaves actually returned mm-hmm. to the plantations
yep.
that, you know,
yeah.
they were, you know, for like a better word, you know, imprisoned. And,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, I
just think that's extraordinary, because it's true. They did have lives, and they did have families, and they did have property and belongings to some certain degree.
Yeah.
But it's still theirs, you know, and how and what do you do about that? I think that this Douglass quote is so salient right now, and I just want to say this before we go to a drop. I think it's so salient because I think it's really, you know, interesting how Black folks talk about what they would have done if they were slaves, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and you can't.
You know, it's like that Boondocks episode when he was like, you know, if I was a slave and I got off the ship, I would whoop that slave master's ass.
Like, right?
No, you don't understand, like,
dude, you wouldn't
the
have.
Type of mindset and the type of intense physical and mental emotional subjugation and agony that these people went
yeah,
through.
Yeah, that had occurred for months before they got here. Yeah.
Of the human spirit. And
yeah.
that is incomprehensible to me.
Yeah.
Being a person that's infused with a sense of pride and a sense of, you know, at least underlying confidence of who I am to see how a person is just reduced to less than a human being and actually believes that is it's not only incomprehensible, but it's incredibly depressing.
Well, it's one of the major tragedies of our existence.
And of our American history.
But not American history. It's a global tragedy. It's a global history. This isn't just American history. Mm-hmm. This is, and that's one of the things that we really ought to understand about all this. I mean, the transatlantic slave trade wasn't just a Southern event. It was a Southern, it was an American event. It was a hemispheric event.
Yes.
It was a
continental. Because people were going more places. Yeah, people were going more places than just here.
Yeah, and so the more that we unpack this, the more that we understand our place in this and participate in exhibitions and events such as this one. And I say an event because it is an empathetic moment that is not about things on the wall, but about true experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she does that so well in these images.
It's incredibly grounding, and I want to thank you for like putting it on. We're going to do a drop.
Sure.
We're going to come right back with Andrea Douglas. This is Homegrown.
This is Jay Warr from Vibe Riot. You listen to 94.7 WPVC, Homegrown, Charlottesville. What up?
Are you ready for the truth about food? If so, then tune in to 94.7 WPVC every Saturday morning at 11 for To Your Health. It's the program you need to help you make the best choices about what to eat and drink. Expert guests, local farmers, and food service professionals will be here to make sure you get the truth without the big advertiser hype. To Your Health is brought to you in part by Hamilton's at First and Main, now celebrating 20 years on the downtown mall. I'm MC Blair, inviting you to join me for To Your Health, this and every Saturday morning at 11, only on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
It is 46 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, where you been? This is Homegrown.
I know. Show is almost like over halfway over. What the heck is wrong with you?
15
Didn't you set
minutes
your alarm?
Left, and we are just killing it. It is 45 minutes past the hour. This is 94.7 WPBC. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Dan Gould. David Singerman and Corey Kane from Indivisible will be their guests, talking about the Indivisible's efforts to resist the Trump agenda, which is awesome. And currently, right now, we are talking to Andrea Douglas, the executive director of the Jefferson School Heritage Center.
So you know, we've talked about the exhibit that's up now, but there's a lot of stuff going on at the Heritage Center, right? Your like calendar is packed.
We grind,
right?
There's no other word to describe
there's
what happens.
Something going on there.
Grinds hard.
We grind, and sometimes you wake up in the morning, you're like, wow, did I just do that?
Right.
You know, the Festival of the Book had 786 people come through the Heritage Center over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a week.
Right.
You know, and that's a serious grind. And, you know, we come back April 8th with the Day Soiree, which is a celebration of Vinegar Hill, which is an amazing, amazing thing. We're working with Miller School kids, of which one of them is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Not to give a plug to the Miller School, but what is important about that is these kids have the ability to learn about a place that is so significant in our history and then interpret that place in a way that causes other people to understand that.
Right.
And I am there between the ages of 14 and 17. They have taken in this information and through this Day Soiree created something that is going to recognize African-American business past and present. We want you to come out and get to know some of these businesses. There will be vendors there who are going to be talking about what they do and really helping to define what is the legacy of Vinegar Hill.
Yeah.
They've created scavenger hunts. They've created trivia contests. They've done all of this stuff with the hope of articulating for the rest of us. So that starts at 11 and goes on till 4. There's a center stage, which...
And your son behind you is like, is that right, Mama? Oh, no.
You ain't no help back there, brother. You are just...
We're hosting, helping to participate in the Nine Pillars Hip Hop conference. We're pretty excited about that. Music is an important part of the Heritage Center. We are in the same way that Yo-Yo Ma thinks about the Silk Road, we think about our own Silk Road, the development and transmission of African-derived music.
Yes.
And so any opportunity that we get to participate in exemplifying the greatness of that work and that journey is one that we really want to participate in. And then theater.
You know,
I have been waiting. I have been hoping. I have been so desperate. August Wilson is one of my favorite figures in American theater.
Yeah.
And while some know him, not enough do.
That's true.
And so we waited. We created the POC network so that we could reach out to artists, and in so doing, hope to create a kind of co-op relationship where we provide a space and we provide as much support as we can to local African American artists, and then in turn, they give us the honor and benefit of their work, and give us the honor and benefit of providing a space for people to understand what someone like August Wilson is to our culture and our community.
Yes.
And so you and Clinton and David and others will be doing Fences for us April 21st through the 23rd.
Wait, we're doing Fences? What?
David.
Oh.
We've talked about this.
This is why you're burning the candle. Remember why you're tired?
That's why.
That would be why.
And then
those lines
of memorized. We're up 2 weekends. We open the 21st, Friday, Saturday at 8, and then Sunday matinees on the 23rd. And what's that next Sunday? What, the 30th?
The 30th. But that's exciting. But more exciting in some ways for me, and for the mission of the Heritage Center, is the classes that you all are teaching. Because our goal is not simply to support what we have today. Our goal is to create and develop. Charlottesville is a very art-centric space, but our centricities can be expanded.
Yes.
And we need to expand them by making opportunity for our young people and our older folks who see themselves as artists but have not had the opportunity to express that, to learn. So we begin April 15th with classes for adults and for the youth. Our first class is about August Wilson.
Yes.
We follow up April 22nd with a class about black theater. Black theater is American theater, Charlottesville.
Yes, it
remember
is.
That. Mm-hmm. You can see 12 plays a year that are written by African-American and African diaspora peoples, and you are still experiencing American theater.
Yes.
You can see work by Latin.
I know we all heard the collective gasp.
You can see work by Latin artists and still be experiencing American theater. Let's remember that. So then thereafter, I think it's the 29th, we do playwriting. So come with your pencils and your paper and those works that you have been working on.
Yeah,
and
be ready to write, people.
Be ready to work. And then finally, in May, the last one is about breaking down a play. These are special things. They move in special ways. They are not just about bodies talking, but they are about bodies talking in particular kinds of spaces that are designed, some of them real and some of them not real. And so how one creates that kind of existence within the written word and understanding that as you're watching that is a craft.
Yes.
And so please, if you're interested in any of those classes, check out our website. There is a fee associated with them. You can do one or you can do them all. So the website is...
Do them all. I'm just saying. Do them all.
www.jeffschoolheritagecenter.org. There you can buy tickets for Fences, the play, and buy your spot in any one of those classes or in all of them. But, you know, we continue on and on in that way. And I say we grind.
Mm-hmm.
But we only grind with the help of people like the three of you and the help of our community and those who understand that this is a necessary part of diversifying the cultural field that we live in.
So the next time you find yourself at the Jefferson School, there are donation boxes in several locations. So stick a little bit of money in there. Not the one that jingles, the one that folds.
A lot coming to America.
She's your queen to be. All right, stop. So, yes, Andrea Douglas, thank you so much for coming here once again.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Your presence, Andrea Douglas, director, executive director.
That's right, put that executive on it.
American Heritage Center. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Love you so much. And thank you for letting us do fences.
Oh, my God. It is my privilege.
Sorry? Introduce the rant. I was going to do that. So, Leslie, you going to rant for us?
I am.
You usually do?
Oh, my God. That was a lovely introduction there, David.
Yeah, seamless is what I try to do here.
Whatever. So, I think there needs to be some clarity. Race is defined by Webster's as a group of persons related by common descent or heredity. Racism is defined by Webster's as a belief or doctrine that inherent differences among the various human racial groups determine cultural or individual achievement, usually involving the idea that one's own race is superior and has the right to dominate others, or that a particular racial group is inferior to the others. Anthropologists have been arguing that there is no such thing as race, the way we commonly use it, for years. Because scientifically, we are all the same race, the human one. Yet we continue to use it incorrectly. Being Jewish is not a race. That's a religious distinction, just like Baptist or Buddhist. Having a majority of European DNA in your blood means your people came from Europe. Having a majority of African DNA means my people came from Africa. It does not mean I am no longer human. But that's what it's come to mean in this country. In this country, it has come to mean that I am not an American. I'm an African American. And I understand the impetus to make the distinction. The distinction was supposed to help make it more obvious that my experience and your experience in this country is vastly different. It was supposed to create a certain amount of pride in a younger generation while letting them know that they were still American and entitled to all of the same rights and privileges received by their European descended contemporaries. What it did was divide us even more. The reason MLK had people carrying signs saying, "I am a man," is because for most people, that was new information. Yeah, think about that for a minute. It was new information. The really sad thing is that I don't think the news was, you know, carried to everyone. Some people missed that memo. Maybe the president should tweet about it and then they'll read it. But that underlying belief that people of African, Mexican, or Hispanic descent are somehow inherently less than has been the basis of this country since its inception. It has weaved its way through the justice system, through every law ever written, and every facet of American life. That is the realization we must come to. That is the thing we must accept. And once we accept it, we can then begin to change it. That is the decision and the action that is most important now. Change. We as artists are uniquely situated to push for that change. We can use our voices to shed light on those dark places in ways that touch people in their soul. And I would argue that not only is that our job, it is our responsibility to the world we live and create in. And that's the weekly rant.
The rant that I disagree with? I'm looking for that.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, you know. Tell you what, I'll try next week.
We'll try. We'd like to thank our guests, Marianne Kubik and Matt Marshall and Andrea Douglas. Coming up next is a Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Dan Gould. Their guests are David Singerman and Corinne Case from Indivisible, and they're talking about the efforts to resist the Trump agenda. My name is David Von Strawn. That was Leslie M. Scott Jones. This is Homegrown. We'll be back next week, next Sunday. Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.
94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.